You know, it'd be like that. Hello, everyone. Oh, this is wobbly, but it's okay. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to be reading for Hemingway's Long Live Hemingway's. Long Live Hemingway's. Thank you, Joan and Chris, for having me, and RIP Jimmy. We love you. And I'm so happy to be reading with all of you. Poetsburg is right, isn't it? So I'm not a theme kind of girl, but because I've known a lot of you for like 1,000 years, I know a lot of you know, but my grandmother died recently, and she was the one I always talked about, the one who like raised me, the one who was like the best person in the world. So I thought I would go through like all of my poems, which was great, and read the ones where like read some of the ones where she appears. So I'm doing that. And it was both more than I thought and like less than you'd think. But math was never my thing. Manaca, PA. Oh, and thanks to White Whale, Lovians forever. I didn't forget if Jill and Ad are watching. Manaca, PA. I know black, the cold Western Pennsylvania sky, no stars, my grandmother's 2.5 bedroom house in a too grubby to be something still town with dive bars where you can get a Miller Lite for $1 and Pabst for $3 if you're feeling fancy. Where my dad's a member at the Sons of Italy Club, and he takes me there to drink well gin and tonics while he flirts with the bartender. Doesn't come to my defense when the men in the bar try to take me home. My grandmother calls him an idiot. And if there is a hell, she's sure he's going. But couldn't hell be right here when the sun sets above the long abandoned paper factory? My ex-lover still parks across the street and still smiles when I get in the car. We get high before he drops me off again across the street, and we make plans we may or may not keep for when I come home again. At no later than 11 p.m., my grandma goes to bed. With a cigarette between fingers, I watch TV through the window while she sleeps upstairs in a blue fleece nightgown, electric blanket on. Thank you. Thank you. And Graham was a soap opera kind of girl, you know, and hers was Young and the Restless. That Victor Newman got her every time. First read. In my grandma's soap opera, The Young and the Restless, all the bad women wore red lipstick, and I loved them. How they cheated on their husbands with the gardener, seduced their sister's boyfriends, committed murder and flirted their way out of life in prison. My grandmother watched it early in the morning in the family room, and I woke myself up to watch it with her. I wanted to be one of these women. Glamorous Nikki married to business tycoon Victor Newman, or Jill constantly at odds with her millionaire mother. Sharon, the innocent teenager, had light pink lips, just a tinge of color. When my mother spent evenings blow drying my long brown hair, I practiced perfecting a red palette in her makeup mirror, dreamed of pearls and the $1 million bra. At 4 years old, playing at her vanity table, I was hungry for red, Spanish red, another Estee Lauder, red like my mother's 94 Sunfire, her silk comforter, the prettiest negligee in the Victoria's Secret catalog. If she was in a good mood, my mother told stories about her 20-something self working behind the Estee Lauder counter at Kaufman's, told me stories about French perfume and the men who bought it for their wives, the hundreds of lipsticks she sold in a week. She gave me red lipstick dreams, taught me how to test lipstick on my hand to see if it's the right shade, and instructed me, follow the shape of the mouth. Always use a lip pencil. Kiss a Kleenex to get rid of the extra. And that's back. Those words. Lip pencils are key. I'm glad they're coming back. And this is a newer poem. Walking over the 10th Street Bridge. It's the 1st of September, and my grandmother calls to tell me her cousin's husband died. They were married 72 years. I've spent the past two thinking about moving to Savannah, but there's something about the brown water of the Monongahela that keeps me here. Something grounding in the dirt, the smoke blowing from whatever factory is still operating across the river. I look through the graffiti tags like old friends. Awake, Kuru, FTC, RIP Doc, Schizo, who I think is in jail in New York. In Savannah, there's nothing to hold on to. I float on dry land, cling to men who are just as slippery, say, I love you in the cliched moonlight way. I don't know how people stay married for 72 years or why. Last night, I looked up how to forgive on the internet. Nothing new there. So I move through the Armstrong Tunnel like I'm underwater, cross the bridge with dirty feet, dirtier heart. Thank you. The stand is making me nervous, but that's all right. I'll live. And this, I wanted to read this poem because Graham liked it. I think because there wasn't any swearing or fucking in it. But, you know, it'd be like that. So just let me, where is it? Maybe I'm not reading it. Where is it? Don't you hate that? Like, this book came out so long ago and I don't know what's going on in it. I might not find it. Sorry, you guys. I hate being that guy. I hate that guy. Okay, I found it. And so, yeah, she liked this poem because it's pretty, I don't know, grandma-ish, I guess. 139 Ridge Avenue. I feared the returning, the weeping willow trees catching small toys, rubber balls, a stuffed Curious George, and the occasional laughter from my sister and me, wrapping the limp branches around our 7 and 5-year-old bodies. Two trees for two daughters. I cannot answer why it's all in the back of my mind, coming out only in dreams, where I still see the view from over the sloped backyard, a big hill hiding the rest of Chippewa Township. But I see a Dracula castle, another world amidst the dead trees. And I'm closing with this one. I know he's really controversial, but Graham loved Elvis. You know, I think all women of a certain age do, but she loved. So this is like, this has a little bit of everything, like Elvis, like Graham stuff, and then it's a little dirty. So for Jimmy, you know, you gotta make it dirty for Jimmy sometimes. This poem is, and this is my last poem. Thanks again, everybody. Keeping my dick in my pants. I'm inside the Apple Street mini bar, staring at the selection of fudge tops in the cooler when a guy walks up, bends down to my ear, says, I live around the corner. I think about bending him over right there, but I'm distracted by the red light in me about to change. Maybe because I keep having dreams about colors, my life turning into a psychedelic haze where it's 1958 and Elvis Presley was drafted into the army. And who will dance for us now? Who will gyrate his hips in front of the television? And who will be captured, lock shot from only the waist up while Elvis is away at war? America does not want to see his shaved head get onto that plane, but America wonders if he cried for his mama when the bombs and guns got too loud. He loves his mama because even the king needs a little TLC during war, needs a little squeeze. But what do I know about such things while I'm sitting on my bed dreading going to work when I want to stay here with my cat and call my grandma just to hear her voice on the other end? Because sometimes I just need to know the people I love are alive and okay, whatever that means. Because it's 2010 and I'm barely into my 22nd year, and I feel sometimes I don't know much about anything, just that when Elvis sings Mama like the roses on his Christmas album, even though I don't like Christmas, I cry a little. Thank you. And bye-bye to everybody at home.